has been going a lot lately. And the few days that he gets off here and there, I say, faith school. Because we have had tremendous, tremendous, tremendous results from faith school. So if you ever run out of things to pray about faith school. And the languages, because we have been getting a lot of results from the languages. But I would like, I've been praying about and had our guys praying about how to get the message out that there are languages. Because, you know, we can do a lot of languages, but unless the word gets out that they're out there, it's kind of useless. So tell everybody you know, and anybody you know in different languages, we need to let them know. So we want to do that and get those out there, because the word, if you can't understand it, what if somebody speaks to you in Japanese or Chinese or Swahili or whatever? How well do you understand it? I know y'all just had a real anointing through the other, but y'all have to, you know, don't have to be so quiet, okay? You know, the anointing is good. And he's out, so I'll finish that sentence and then we'll go on to something else. He's out with Mike and one of our board members, Gerald Beam. How many of y'all remember Brother Gerald? He's on our board. We've known Gerald since we were, I'm going to say, 13 or 14 years old, pretty much since Keith and I met. Now, if you don't have friends that are that old in your life, you might want to repent. You know, we should have friends, you know, in our life. And the Bible says, if you need friends, you got to show yourself friendly. Yeah, that's right. And we'll get into some of that. But, you know, sometimes you have to say, I'm sorry, and take the blame. That went over like I took a lead anvil and I went patoing, you know. But sometimes you have to take the blame, you know, and say you're sorry. We've had friends, both of us, that we went to junior high with. And we still have them today.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Lord.
Let's go on. All right. Go back and find your friends. Apologize. Make friends again. All right. So today, how many of you are still reading your chapters every day, or either catching up throughout the week, or... Oh, that's going to cause me a problem. Raise your hand up real high. Okay, how many are not reading your chapters every day? They're not raising their hand. They're going like this. You know. Okay, so we'll have to go over some more than I had wanted to go over. Because in reading our chapters, we're reading Job. How many of you know we're reading Job? At least how many of you know where we are? We'll start where we are. No condemnation. God's not into condemnation. You know, but maybe today will stir you up to start reading again. You know, and you don't have to go back and read where we are from where we are. Just start tomorrow. You know, and read to where we are. But in reading Job, it really, really, really stirred me up. Because a lot of people get confused with Job. Yep. You know, more people come out of Job confused than when they went into Job. Yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I love Job. And let me tell you why. Because I see something probably different than a lot of people see it. I've always been that way. I'm a little, I won't say weird. Weird. I don't know another word. But I see things so naturally. I don't want to say hyper-spiritualize. I don't want to say over-spiritualize. I don't want to say religious, but I'm going to say them. Religiousize things. I just read it and put it where we are today. Okay? So when I read Job... and you can send the letters, send all of, take your special time and send all the letters that you would like. Okay? Doesn't matter. But I'm going to tell you what I feel like Job meant to me. How many of you were here the day that I said spiritual things are spiritual? Say that with me. Spiritual things are spiritual. How many of you enjoyed praise and worship this morning? Oh, the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord will change your life. I mean, the presence of the Lord is the answer to everything in our lives. So before we go any further, I just want to do this. And for those of you, I wasn't going to do it, but I think I will, since so many people didn't read Job. We'll have to do it, okay? We're going to read Job chapter 1, and I'm just going to let my little handy-dandy Bible program read it for me. So y'all just listen to it and enjoy it while we read it. Let's see. Can we turn on this microphone here? And let's see if we can get it going. It should just come up if I have my volume on. Let's see if I do. No sleeping. You know, I used to listen to Keith a lot or my Bible program when I went to sleep. How many of you have done that a lot? But then when I wanted to listen to the Bible program, or when I wanted to listen to Keith, I would sit still to listen to him, and the next thing I'd know, I'd be waking up. So I quit doing that. Because I wanted to respect the word more than that. I didn't just want to go to sleep through it, you know. And I'm not saying it's wrong. To each person, his own thing, but, you know. All right. So here we go. All right. Just chapter 1,
the book of
Job.
Chapter 1. In the land of Uz, there
you can't hear
a
it?
Man whose name was Job.
Okay, we'll start it again.
Blameless and upright.
You're hearing it on my microphone, not on this microphone. So maybe I should hold it up? Let's try it again, because they got to hear it in Branson, so. You got it, Brian? Let's try it again. Let's see. I think it comes from this side.
He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing.
Okay, now hold on just a minute, and I'm going to read you the next part of this. We're not going to keep going on with that part. There's too much. We'll read all day if we do that. Okay, we'll start here. Actually, we'll just keep reading until the end of this part right here. You got time, don't you?
Yes.
All right. Nothing better than the Word. You know, I can stand up here and talk all day, but the Bible's the most important thing anyway. So we'll keep going for just a minute. It's not very far. I'm reading, in case you guys want to know, on the screens and put it up there. It's Job chapter 2, verse 1, the NIV, if anybody ever wants to look it up.
Job 2. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Skin for skin, Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die.
Now, did you read Job? Okay. As it goes on, you'll see what happened throughout Job. Him and his friends have a lot of dialogue for 42 chapters, right?
Yeah.
Trying to figure out why this happened for 42 chapters. But what I want you to get is put up Job 1, verse 8. And I want you to get this out of Job and see if you agree. There's no one on the earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And Satan answered to the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? The next verse, verse 10. Have you not placed a hedge on every side around him and his household and all that he owns? You have what? Say that word with me.
Blessed
the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased him in the land. And all that he has. And it told all that he had. all the oxen and all the stuff. Now, how many of you remember what Abraham had? And did the Lord call him blessed? Blessed Job, blessed Abraham. They were blessed. And the Lord built a hedge around Job. Now, the last time I spoke about us being the blessed of the Lord and Galatians, that we were redeemed from the curse of the Lord and we were the blessed of the Lord. Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? I can't go over it again. If you don't know it, go back and get some of the tapes. But what I want you to know is, okay, Edward, get up and go in that, back right over there to that corner. And I want you to understand the meaning of Job all the way to the end there. All right? Edward now has a hedge about him. Edward is now within the blessings of the Lord that it was talking about, that Job was in the blessings of the Lord. What happened to Job was the hand of the Lord. What happened? Did y'all just hear that? The devil walks about the earth seeking whom he what?
May devour.
And what happened was the hand of the Lord came off of Job. Before the hand of the Lord was on Job, what was happening? He was blessed. And everything he owned was blessed. His cattle was blessed. His family was blessed. Job wasn't sick. Everything he had was blessed. Everything he owned was blessed. When you get saved, what happens to you? You begin walking in the blessing of Abraham. You begin walking in the blessings of the Lord. Everything you own is blessed. You start out with a clean slate. Everything in your life begins to prosper. Your body is healed. Your mind is healed. Your heart is healed. Do you remember how you were just a few minutes ago? Were you feeling kind of lighthearted and like nothing was wrong? Everything kind of felt free and good? And you weren't thinking so much about your problems and all the stuff that was going on out there? The blessings of the Lord were on you. The same thing was happening to Job. The blessings of the Lord were on him. He didn't have to do anything to get them. The blessings of the Lord were on him. That's what happens. Now, Edward, come out of there. Okay, immediately, who is out here in this world? The devil is out here in this world. And he can throw fiery darts at you. He can throw attacks at you. He can attack your family, just like he did Job's. He's not leaving far from there. Can you tell that? He can attack you. But what so many people do throughout our lives, most all of us do it. We get saved. We find the Lord. Our sins are washed away. We get filled with the Holy Spirit. We get in the presence of the Lord. Now, I know, I've told the story before, when I got saved, I didn't want to leave the presence of the Lord. Just like this morning, the presence of the Lord is a holy place. And you can tell you're receiving nourishment. You're receiving strength. You're receiving answers. you're receiving the good things of the Lord in that place.
Amen.
Then you come out of there and you got to deal with this stuff again. God never intended for us to have to fight in this world. God never intended for us to have to heal ourselves, bring in all of our money, heal our kids, fix our marriages, find our jobs and bring in all the money, get peace for ourselves, bring in all the joy that we need, fix the depression that we're having, fix our minds. God never intended that. But every single day, people are working with every fiber of their being to do these things. From the time they get up in the morning till the time they lay their head at night, they're looking for peace. They're looking for money. They're looking for marriage peace. They're looking for healing. They're looking for joy. Let me read you this. This is from, you can just stay right there, Edward, don't go too far. You can even sit on the edge of the platform right there and stay right close to that. Let me read you this. This is from the Message Bible, Galatians 5:22. It says, but what happens when we live God's way? Does God have a way for us to live?
Yes.
Does the world have a way for us to live?
Yes.
Have we begun to live the same way as the world lives?
Sometimes.
Can you tell a difference between the way you live and the way the world lives?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
What do you do different in a normal week that the world does? Be honest with yourself. This says, but what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives. Why am I holding this microphone? Somebody already yelled it out to me. I don't need that microphone. He brings gifts into our lives. Much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others. Have you lost your affection for others? Have you just grown even? Ho-hum? Parallel. Take it or leave it. Things like affection for others. Exuberance about life. Serenity. Or peace. We develop a willingness to stick with things. A sense of compassion in our hearts. Have we lost some of that? A conviction that a basic holiness permeates us, things and people. Basic holiness. To me, basic holiness isn't what a lot of people think. It isn't about the way you dress. It's about the way you treat other people. Being willing to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I repent. I shouldn't have judged you about that. Not lying. Not stealing. Basic holiness. Have we lost some of that? See how quiet? Basic holiness permeates us. We find ourselves in loyal commitments. Not needing to force our way in life. In other words, not needing to make ourselves be loyal. Not needing to make ourselves be holy. Not needing to make ourselves be things that God's asked us to be or called us to be. It's become tough to be holy and Christian. Able to marshal and direct our energies and our lives wisely. Why can Christians no longer wrestle up the abilities to be able to do these things the way that we feel we should? Because they've become dependent on themselves. We are not strong enough in ourselves to control ourselves. We're not strong enough in ourselves to keep ourselves from doing right or wrong. We're not strong enough in ourselves to know what's right or wrong.
That's right.
God never intended for life to be so hard and a struggle between light and darkness in your life all the time. He never intended that for us. So people are going through life depressed, hurting. Marriages that used to be full of joy and peace and happiness are full of void and going through the motions. People, just in themselves, are getting up and going through the motions of daily life every day. No hunger and thirst for the righteousness and the holiness of God anymore. No hunger for the things of God anymore. It's a duty to fulfill the things of God. It's a duty to do the things that God has asked them to do. The desire to do it is lacking. You can tell that by the number of people in church. And God's never been one to make people do anything. And He's not going to start. So how do we do a change from our daily lives that we just keep going through the motions and just want to check out all the time? Check out with the TV. Check out with video games. Check out with ball games. Check out with other people and sexual adventures. Check out with whatever. To get out of this life. When this life God intended to be a joy and a purpose for us.
Amen. Amen.
I told Keith this morning, he said, Phil, it's going to go good for you. The Lord always helps you. I'm always surprised at how supernatural the Lord does for you when you do these things. And I just replied, you know why? Because I'm his favorite. I am the blessed of the Lord. But there's no coincidence that I do what I told the youth to do, however long ago that was. How many years ago was that, Rob? 20 years ago? Every single day. If I don't do it immediately, if I say something short to Rob or I say something short to somebody, I'm going to immediately text them back or call them back and say, Rob, I said that too short. Sorry. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that quite like that. What's a better way to say that? Or, if it was just between me and the Lord, when I lay my head down at night, I'll talk to the Lord and I'll say, Lord, I didn't handle that quite right today, did I? Sorry about that. I repent for that. Now, what I'm talking about with Job is living God's way. And let me explain that to you. The book of Job, to me, and if you read it, how many of you said you read it? I mean, how many of you didn't just read over it? How many of you actually read it? Okay. Then you'll get what I'm talking about. The book of Job is about somebody that the hand of the Lord was on, and it shows how blessed they were, and the difference between the hand of the Lord being on them and the hand of the Lord being off of them. How hard is that? Is that complicated? You saw the blessings on his life, and you saw when the blessings came off of his life. Now, I know I am blessed. Everything I do prospers. Everything I do prospers. I don't just say that to draw your attention to me. I do it because I stay here. I don't always, all day long, seek how I'm going to get healed. I don't seek how I'm going to get money. I don't seek how I'm going to get my marriage better. I don't seek how I'm going to fix the situation between employees. I get upset with employees if they bother me before 10 o'clock. Is that correct? Why is that? You say, well, I have to be at work before 10 o'clock. Well, find another time. We cannot make it. We cannot exist. We cannot prosper. We cannot be healed. We cannot have joy. Let me read you the fruit of the Spirit. You know them, but let me read them and remind you of them. See if you fall into any of these categories in lacking. In lacking. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Have you run a little bit short in the love category with anyone? I know, just as well as I know my name, if I'm running short in love, if I'm running short in talking with people, if I'm running short in getting along with people, it's not their fault. It's my fault. And I better quickly run back into this place. To get the hedge about me. You don't want to live without this hedge about you. You can try all day to fix a marriage problem. You can't fix it. You can go to counselors. You can fight with each other. You can get 10,000 people's opinion. Or you can get the hedge about you in the presence of the Lord, and it be fixed in 5 seconds. Now, you can't do anything about the other person, but God's a big God. And I know, as well as I know my name, He fixed my marriage when I got the hedge about me. This was 25, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I don't remember. There was things I needed to see. There was things he needed to see. But I had to get the hedge about me. Love. The next one is joy. Half the body of Christ has lost their joy. 3/4 of the body of Christ has lost their joy. Joy. Your joy. Jesus said, I give you my peace. I give you my joy.
Amen. Yes.
Our joy only comes from the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
You're not going to get it from some pill. You're not going to get it from somebody.
Right.
You're going to get it from getting this hedge back around you. You should run. How quickly should you run back to the hedge when your joy is missing? Not to a TV program. Not to a book. Not to a... I love my husband's teaching. Don't get me wrong. As far as purity to the Word, you're going to find few and far between. That gives you more word content. But there ain't nobody that's going to give you more word content than shutting everything off, getting in the presence of the Lord alone.
Amen.
Not even. And I read this word continuously. Not even reading this Bible. Just spending time in the presence of the Lord. We have a generation that is word sog soaked. But they spend no time in the presence of the Lord. Zero, zilch, none. So they've lost their joy. If you're missing joy, find you a closet. Get in His presence. Don't pray so loud that you can't hear Him talk. Let Him talk to you. Zip it. So you can hear Him. Get quiet. Brother Hagin taught us a long time ago. When he had services, he'd say, I just lay across my bed in the presence of the Lord and let Him tell me what I'm supposed to do. Let Him give me answers about what I'm supposed to do. Let Him show me how it's supposed to be. Every time I've ever got a word of knowledge, I was telling Dave the other day, You know, back in the 70s, early 80s, you know, Keith and I traveled all the time and services and stuff. And, you know, he's told you, I got a word of knowledge so precise almost every service. I could tell you exactly what you said to you. I saw so many things in services. The color of the car, the child, the money exact to the dollar. That hasn't happened in 10 years. You say, what are you doing? Are you sinning? What are you doing wrong? What'd you mess up? Nothing. You can't have things like that if people don't desire things like that. If people just come to church and want to see how quickly they can get out of church. You go, we do number one, we do number two, we do number three, and we go home. God has answers for people.
Amen.
And it takes him about this long to fix stuff for people. He knows the answers for you. He can fix your finances just that quick. And you heard me snap. He can fix it. He can fix your financial troubles. He can fix your marriage troubles. He can fix your body troubles.
Amen.
Ask me how I know. He's done them all for us. Every single one of them. You wouldn't believe the troubles that we've had in every single one of those areas. Carrots in the dried carrots in the refrigerator was all the money we had financially. Marriage troubles, ready to quit. Never wanted to see that good-looking man again. Body troubles. Jordan and I had to get some of my paperwork the other day to transfer to a different doctor. I hadn't read it in decades. Brain lesions, too many too numerous to count. I forget what it said. MS, be in a wheelchair within this short period of time. So many disc protrusions and herniated disc in my neck and low back. One thing after another. Don't tell me we don't serve a healer. Don't tell me we don't serve a provider. Don't tell me we don't serve a God that heals marriages and minds and bodies.
Amen.
But he's not going to do it. You just focus in on you. My favorite scripture is Matthew. Anybody want to guess?
633.
We can seek our own continuously. But God's plan is for us to spend time in his presence. Do you know what Job's problem was? His pride that he could fix his problem himself. Through the whole book of Job, he was trying to fix his problem himself. For 42 chapters, he was trying to fix his problem himself. You read it. What was he trying to do? Figure out and fix his problem himself. And God had to come along and say, did you make this? Did you make that? Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this? Did you do that? Can you do this? Where were you when this happened? What can you actually do? Did you read Job? Is that not what he said? Is he not asking us the same thing? Can you heal your body? How many of you can heal your body? Can I cure MS? Can I fix disc? Can I fix a marriage? Can I really, really make myself wealthy? No matter how smart I am. Huh? That was Job's problem. He thought he could fix everything himself. Can we actually fix everything ourselves?
No.
The problem was, when Job finally, chapter after chapter after chapter, wore himself down, and if you'll get in your hedge or in your closet or get with the Lord, you'll eventually wear yourself down. Maybe it won't take you as long as it did me. You remember Keith telling the story about he asked the Lord to show him how much of the graces on his life was him and how much was the Lord. You weren't there, I was. I've never been so scared, yes, scared, in all my life. He couldn't put a sentence together. It's like he lost his mind. It's like he needed to be admitted into a mental institution. He has sung and played his whole life. He couldn't even think of a song. He couldn't think of a word to go in a song. He couldn't find middle C on the piano. He didn't know where the book of John was in the Bible, and he taught it every day in school. The problem with Job was he thought he could do things himself. And the reason that he thought that was because God had been so good to him. So you've had a few tests and trials in your life. You've had a few issues in your life. Quit trying to fix them yourself. And run as quickly as you absolutely can to this hedge.
Amen.
Shut the TV off. Shut the cell phone off. Shut the kids off. Teach them to do it themselves. Run to this hedge. Look at the rest of these. Peace. I don't have to ask you how many of you have peace. I know it when I saw the first song. There wasn't a hand in here hardly raised during the first song this morning. I'm watching on the TV back there. I'm watching Branson. It took a while to get people pulled in to the things of God. It shouldn't take us that long to get in God's presence and away from the world. We should stay in the presence of God. And we should leave the presence of the God momentarily to go into the world. It should be the opposite of the way it is. Right now, we stay in the world and come momentarily into the presence of God. Do you see the difference?
Yes, I see it.
We spend 90% of our time in the world. And 5% may be in the presence of God. We have to do a flip-flop of that. You don't have to try to figure out how to solve your life and everything. God has done it for you.
Hallelujah.
He paid the price for your healing.
Yes.
He paid the price so you could have money. He paid the price for your peace. Here's the rest of them. Long-suffering or patience. Have you lost your patience? You get irritated when somebody doesn't move quick enough. I can raise my hands, my feet. Everything about me. Gentleness. Have we lost our gentleness with people? Our goodness. Is it all about me? Everything in this world's about me. Everybody's here to serve me. Everything is about me. We don't have any goodness for other people. It's all about me. What if God were that way? Faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Have you yelled out at somebody? I don't have to see a show of hands. Because I know if people were honest, every hand in the place would raise up. We can't live in this world and not have these things rubbing off on us on a daily basis. So instead of going home at night and watching TV for 4 hours, we got to build ourselves back up. We must. Then you would be surprised at how quickly. Say quickly.
Quickly.
Snap your fingers. Just that quick. God will turn your finances around. He'll turn your marriage around. He'll turn your kids around. He'll turn your job situation around. He'll turn everything about your life around. You don't serve God for naught.
That's right.
You don't. You didn't get saved just to be saved and go to heaven. God wants you blessed in this life.
Amen. Yes.
He wants you to have the best here in this life, not just Phyllis Moore. I am his favorite, but guess what? You are his favorite.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
You are his favorite.
Yes, I am.
Say, I'm his favorite too.
I'm his favorite too.
Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
You get in, get back in the hedge, Edward. Yeehaw! Now, Edward's marriage is going to change the more time he spends in there. He can't be running around town seeing what he can do. Got to spend more time in there. Okay? His finances will change. He can't be just seeking ways to build his finances. You know, you can miss God on your finances. You can lose time. Doing one thing God tells you can prosper you. Investing money in the wrong place, You can have a lot of money and invest it the wrong place, and what can happen? You heard stories about people losing everything they got? Invest it the right place, and what can happen? Prosper. God can keep you at home and you never have to work again. How many of you would like that? Oh, yeah. Never have to work again. How many of you would like for your children to behave properly? Oh, look at the hands. Give you a little peace at home? Ask the Lord to show you how. Here's the thing. Not every child is alike. You can read every book that's ever been written. And they're not going to tell you how to correct your kid. We have a lot of kids here in children's, both places. Not any one of them is the same. Do you know how to get your child healed? God does. You can go to every doctor in the universe seeking answers. There's only one doctor, Dr. Jesus, that knows the answer. You know where to get joy from. You know where to get peace from. Turn it off. Quit trying to make it work. Quit trying to work it. Get in there and just let it happen. Let it happen. Guys, you don't have to go. Have a seat. We're going to let it happen. I'm going to get a drink here. Y'all are going to let it happen too. They need answers too. What do you think? Just a reminder, it's time to quit, is all that is. Did it just remind y'all it was time to quit? How many of y'all would give another 5 minutes if you could get the answer you were looking for? Then give it to God this evening, tonight. Cut something off. Find the time. I used to have to get up really early in the morning. You say, well, you get to stay until 10. Yeah, I do. But I didn't used to. Job chapter 42. Spiritual things are what? Spiritual. The answer in Job's life was not him seeking out the answer. The answer was from the Lord. He searched out things for 42 chapters. Every friend he had told him a different answer. You ever gone to your friends to find out the answers? They'll do just like Job's did. But in chapter 42, verse 1, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things that I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me to know. You said, now listen and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Amen. That's the problem with many Christians. They've heard of God, but they've never seen Him for themselves. They need to see God for themselves.
Amen. Yes.
When you see God for yourself, you will get the answers.
Yes.
Get in that place and see God for yourself. Get your answers. Therefore, verse 6 was his answer. I despise myself. And what's the next part? I repent in dust, as ash, in dust and ashes. Many of us need to repent. And people say repent, it's not because you stabbed somebody or you robbed a bank. Repentance can be sins of omission, sins of not spending enough time with the Lord, sins of not doing what He told you to do. People think they have the answers for their lives. But the devil is very, very spiritual. And he can lead you on a path that's not God. And he can get you off course very, very, very quickly. If you've spent more time in the world than you have spent quiet time with the Lord, you are more likely to get answers from the devil than you are from God. Now, people don't like that, but it's a fact. That's why when people come and tell us stuff, you want to stop and shake them and say, now, how much time did you just get quiet and spend it with the Lord to get that answer? Because you already know what it's going to be. Because the devil wants to get you off course. Get the hedge back about you before you make any sudden steps. Brother Hagin himself, a man that I thought could hear from God better than any human I know, said, I never make a decision without getting quiet and hearing from the Lord. Spending at least 3 days fasting and praying. Most people won't spend 3 minutes. And they uproot their whole families. Move to a new city. They uproot their whole lives. You want your marriage changed? You want your finances changed? You want your peace changed? You want your body changed? You want your life changed? God is the best God ever.
Yes, He is.
He hurts. I hurt every time one of our church family, you see them going off track. I cry and I hurt inside. And I can't imagine how God hurts. And you just want to say, stop. Get in the presence of the Lord before you do this. Before you destroy your family, before you get a divorce, before you destroy your kids. Stop. But you can't. God can't. He won't. So I'm asking you today, restore your life. Spend time in His presence. And He will give you more than you ever dreamed of. More than you ever dreamed of. Jason, play that one I sent you this morning from Tasha. And then we'll play the other one. I would like for every person in here, every person watching on the internet, every person in Branson, if you have to leave, get up and leave now. I know some people have jobs or they have other things that they have to get up and do. Otherwise, they're going to play two songs. It won't take, I think, they're 5 minutes each. You got 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Give him 10 minutes. many of you will do what we talked about today? Get this hedge back about you. He's a good God.
Amen.
And it just hurts Him so much to see His children suffering. It hurts us so much when we see people leave the church and just quit going anywhere. And just go back out into the world. Because they feel like they're not getting answers. And there's nothing you can do to make them do what God wants them to do. I can't come home and hold your hand and say, I said spend time with the Lord.
Right.
You're not too.
Right.
But if you want help, you will. Go ahead, Jace.
People, you are the light we standing on.